You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, I'm not the only one with a freaking cold around here or whatever, allergies. I go in the bathroom and people cough, and people are coughing everywhere. Do we all just have the same thing?
My daughters were coughing all weekend, too.
Yeah. It's just so annoying.
Grab's been sick, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just awful.
By the way, it was butt hot yesterday.
It's going to be butt hot this week.
Is it all week?
I think it's going to be warm today, but there's a cool front coming through. Might have some thunder boomers tonight. It's going to be in the 70s Tuesday and Wednesday, but then Thursday gets back up in the 80s. The next weekend will be warm, which is good. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Well, I mean, basically, summer's here.
Summer's here. Yeah,
it's good. So I like
that.
There'll
be some pool parties. Jason's going to say summer's over.
Yeah. Well, it will be over before you know.
Summer's over July 4th weekend.
July 4th.
Yeah, it's over.
There's some truth to that. It just flies by.
By the way, I see people who are calling in with other places which are better to live. We understand that. The list
goes
on and on.
This is an awesome area to live, in my opinion, in terms of the people, like how cultured it is. The education
level.
There are
a lot of great things.
There's so many great things here.
There are a lot of bad things,
the
too.
The bad thing to
traffic,
me
weather,
is
expenses.
The weather and the cost and that sort of thing. Those are the two biggest
ones. And traffic's really bad.
Yeah. But traffic's bad in a lot of places. I mean, it's nothing, you know. You go, like this guy says Charlotte. Well, I'm sure
Charlotte's
awesome.
Charlotte's great, but you can't make the same money in Charlotte. Well, we can anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
If we went to do morning radio in Charlotte, we're not making what we're making here.
No.
Yeah, but you could probably buy a silly house for $300.
Yeah,
that's fine, but that would be it. Yeah, it's close the same.
It's hard to pack up and move at this stage in your life.
Oh,
you're not doing
no
it.
No question about it.
Tommy, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, doing great.
First of all, that's not the point of my conversation, but I went to Bethpage Thursday, Friday this week. Awesome. Just Brooks Koepka's going to win 50 majors, and he's unbelievable.
Sure seems like
anyway, so listen to you guys my whole life.
By the way, sorry to cut you off. The only problem I have with Brooks, I like watching Brooks play. Man, that Nike hat, that was the worst on the property.
Well, they were all wearing it.
I know,
guys.
All the Nike
what
guys, Finau was wearing it.
I don't know.
It was, Tiger
running
wasn't wearing
out of design.
It. Tiger wasn't going to wear
that. No, Tiger wears his own thing.
But it was terrible.
Tiger played?
He did, for 2 days.
He did play for the first 2 days. Go ahead, Tommy, quickly.
So grew up, whole life listening to you guys. I just made a decision basically after I graduated college, lived up in Arlington. I said, I cannot live here my whole life and raise a family, and I got to move to Charlotte with my DC salary and keep it. And I mean, we just bought a house, $500,000, and it's 4,000 square feet. And we're a 15-minute ride from uptown Charlotte. It's nuts.
Well, you're lucky.
People love it there. It always wins, like, best city to live in and all that in terms of
affordability.
Everybody's
happier. And everybody's so salty up at home. Bunch of Ricks walking around making $500,000, and everybody's pissed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm telling you, everybody's nicer downstairs. The traffic
cooker.
Traffic's maybe an hour in the morning, hour at night, but you got the lakes, the mountains 2 hours away, Charleston's 245 away, Lurch, the Gulf on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, like a Raspberry Falls type quality golf course for $55 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's 55 more than I'd be willing to spend. but I'll say this, I've heard tons of good things about Charlotte. I've been there. My buddy, good friend of mine, moved there about 2 years ago. He loves it. I would love to live down in that part, but I can't make the same money. Now, you're lucky. You got the same salary you were making up here.
But are you guys, do you think when all the kids get older and colleges and they move, that you guys will stay up there forever?
No. Look, once I'm out of the radio business, I absolutely will move south. Don't know where, but yeah, I will move south.
Hmm. And that could be next year, who knows?
You're right about that.
I hope you're wrong.
You're right about that.
You are right.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Dama Jones.
Dama Jones.
All right, you want to get into the world of Hollywood and entertainment? Let's do it. We've got Jay Busby coming up. He's going to recap the PGA.
And your EP, by the way, sponsored.
Thank you.
By Second Chance Addiction Care, an outpatient drug and alcohol addiction center that's already helped several Junkies listeners online at secondchancecare.com.
All right, so we talked about it early in the show. None of us really watched the show, but it is this cultural phenomenon that everybody's talking about. I know my son went to a big Game of Thrones party. That's what they'd been building like for the last 3 or 4 episodes. Guys were all getting together. Watching it. I know Valdez watched it last night. First thing I did when I
Nobody wears costumes, right? People wear costumes
at
to watch
parties?
The show?
Oh, I'm sure some of these nerds do. Yeah. But I got in this morning, and I saw the guy from El Zol.
Jeff.
First thing he did was ask me if I watched Game of Thrones, and he was shaking his head and telling me how pissed he was. Then I went into the break room to get my morning little Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, Valdez with the coffee machine. He was lamenting
water cooler talk
about how Game of Thrones was a big disappointment and a waste of his life. He's glad it's over.
I'm so happy it's over.
And then Sunny from PGC, she came in. She couldn't stop bitching and moaning about the episode last night. You read online, a lot of people disappointed. And then
seems like most people were disappointed.
Now, of course,
I don't know what they wanted. Did you have an ending in mind?
Did you want like some epic battle?
Like whoever's on the throne at the end, you're not happy with who's on the throne, right?
Well, no, it's how they got there, basically.
Okay,
is why it sucked. And then like there was this big death, and then it kind of just it sucked. It wasn't grandiose enough, I feel like.
Right. But I said my argument is, having not watched the show though, is a lot of these iconic shows, they have a hard time wrapping these things up.
And that's true.
And people are often disappointed with season finales. Very often.
We had a caller earlier say that they're cranking out two more books, and these people just, they decided, so they followed the books for five seasons, and then they just decided to start writing their own ass.
They had to keep it going. It
sounds like their own ass wasn't as good as the books.
Well, then, of course, you had the Valdez theory that the directors or writers, whoever it is, they were writing for Star Wars.
Yeah, they got
this became second
up.
Fiddle.
Yeah, they got G'd up with Star Wars money.
They got distracted.
Yeah.
Priorities.
So, that's true.
Too many jobs.
I'm also seeing, again, that these hawks are finding another gaffe. Did you see this? They found a water bottle apparently under one of the seats or
really?
One of the chairs.
How did they botch that?
They keep botching
like
it.
Like a Dasani bottle, just chilling.
And
one of the big, and probably like the final scene, like the last penultimate scene.
Right. And what era is this supposed to be set in? I mean, I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know.
In the future or in the past? I have no idea. Future or in the past?
Middle Ages.
Middle Ages. Definitely not the future.
Yeah. It's in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. So they definitely weren't Dasani bottles.
You know? No. No Dasani bottles.
So, you know, and I guess it's the second or third time they found this kind of thing. Of course, the guy's hand magically reappeared in one of the previews.
Uh-huh. And then the Starbucks cup.
There's a Starbucks cup.
It just shows the
lack of attention to detail.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they're also setting up these massive scenes, right, with hundreds of people in these battle scenes. They're probably waiting around, like the actors are probably waiting like an hour before they actually.
I know,
say
I understand how it happens.
Because they're setting so many things up.
Well, I understand how it happens, but you got to be better than that. You got to be better than that.
But they were probably water bottles and scenes for eight seasons.
Nobody just never
paid attention. Right. It wasn't writing articles about them.
Well, now they are.
Let me ask you this.
Now they are.
Are all the dragons dead, or is there one still alive?
There's one dragon alive.
Oh. Were all the dragons bad dragons?
Two were good.
So there were two good dragons, and then the rest were evil.
Is there still...
Did the dragons battle each other?
No.
That
never
happened. Did get one scene where it was like a two-on-one battle fight. But that was the scene where it was so dark that everyone was complaining.
Oh. Is there any sense that they're going to bring this back in 3 years? Like there's going to be a clamoring to bring it back?
Like a season nine?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Just going to be spinoffs.
Yeah, just spinoffs.
Is that because they killed off enough characters that they won't be able to continue with this? Or
no, they could continue.
They could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't see it happening.
It seems to me I got one person that did hit me up on Twitter and say that they were pleased.
Kevin
but
loved it.
The
Kevin
vast
McCarthy.
Majority, here's one, and Game of Thrones finale ended perfectly, and I enjoyed it. It made total sense. Couldn't see it ending any other way. Not sure why folks are up in arms about it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Now, that's the only one I got that way. And most of the stuff I seemed to see online was the opposite. But there's at least one person out there that liked it.
I didn't get much positive feedback.
Did Adam like it? I can't remember.
I'm beyond frustrated. I can't get it off my mind. I'm so pissed off. They messed up a million things. The continuity of it was terrible. It was all about 10 years from now, we're going to remember the cinematography that they had the dragon flying right behind her face. But they screwed up every little thing, every detail. The script was basic. It was Disney Channel crap. I'm so pissed off. And the water bottle tops it all off.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Seems to be the general sentiment. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, you don't get that mad. It's just a show.
No, I'm legit furious.
Well, people are mad. Are you mad you invested this much time and energy into the show?
Yeah, and I truly feel like the fans out there could have written a better ending. I mean, literally the way it ended, I'm fine with, but the way they got there is so stupid. They let, like Valdez said earlier in the show, they let a guy in handcuffs decide who's the king.
Basically, yeah. They let a prisoner decide who's going to be the king.
You're going to have to table your entertainment.
Why? Maybe you've gotten into the box office.
Because
yet.
Jay Busby's going to join us. You guys love talking about golf.
At 9:40, we'll get back
into it. 9:40, promise.
Koepka, yep. Tiger, what's going to happen at Pebble in a few weeks. We'll talk to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports next here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Jay Busby, senior writer at Yahoo Sports. Talk a little PGA Championship with me, with Jay. And Jay, I got to tell you, I tell my wife all the time that I don't laugh at internet humor because she loves all goofy Facebook jokes and things like that. But your Brooks Koepka stuff was making me laugh.
Oh, about how he's thinking everybody else is a wuss, every other dominator is a wuss. Yeah, I mean, what can we talk about here? Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship. End of segment.
That is true.
And then he wonders why, though, some people are kind of put off by him. But don't.
It's a strange thing. I mean, I've wrestled with this myself. Are athletes obligated to be likable? I mean, are they obligated? What is their obligation to us as fans to be likable? And I don't think they have one. But Koepka like pushes the absolute limits of that. He seems like golf is something that he took up because he wasn't quite getting it done in baseball. So he's like, I'll take up golf. And he still seems to be a little bit almost embarrassed that he's playing the sport.
He's unbelievable. He's so good. But I was saying it all last week. I'm a little put off by him. And maybe part of it's because I see how dominant he can be when he's on his A game. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I'm not sure that that's universal sort of perception of him. What I know he feels like he gets a bum rap from people and doesn't get enough love, and he's probably right, although it's coming now.
I was going to say, isn't that going to end? That has
it's coming
to end.
Now. When you win 4 of 8, you know.
That's got to end.
Yeah, it's coming now.
I mean,
now.
He's the number one player in the world.
Yeah, here's what I think. There's always a segment of fans, and we all know these fans, who have, like, Patriots hats and Warriors jerseys. They jump on the bandwagon of whatever team is dominant. Koepka is absolutely dominant. I mean, it is not out of the realm to say he's Tiger-esque. He's playing as good of a stretch of golf as Tiger played back in the early 2000s. So, yeah, you're going to have a bunch of bros that are going to jump on board with him, which is good, which is fine. I mean, golf needs a little bit more new blood. You do kind of wish that there was a little bit more give and take on his part. But again, it's not really his job to do that. He's not quite the charming schmoozer that McIlroy or Spieth are.
Right.
I find myself rooting for him. I just love watching great players dominate. I loved it when Tiger was doing it. I think golf needed two things. Golf certainly needed Tiger to get back healthy and back on top. And he's obviously very close, winning the Masters. And then they also needed a couple of young Americans to kind of carry on that dominance. And Koepka, you know, we thought Spieth might be that guy. Obviously, it's not. It's Koepka. DJ hasn't been as good as Koepka in the majors. I root for him. I don't have a problem with the personality as much as some guys do. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking beyond that. I enjoy Brooks Koepka, and I enjoy him winning tournaments.
Yeah, and that's a perfectly reasonable way to take it on. Me, I like stories. I like competition. So when it got close yesterday, when DJ got to within one shot, I'm thinking, great, this is it. I wasn't necessarily rooting against or for any one player, but I like to see good stories. And there's nothing worse when you're looking for a good story than some guy just goes out and throws seven shots on the field and then runs away. So, I mean, again, that's not Kepka's fault. It's not like he should slow down so that we can enjoy it. I mean, if anything, he wants to go and bury the field by 10 strokes. But, yeah, he's a remarkable guy. He's a remarkable player. And we are in the without a doubt in the Brooks Koepka era right now.
What does it say about Brooks, if anything, the struggles that he had on Sunday? We know how hard it is to go wire to wire, and so many people have caved when they've had big leads before, some epic meltdowns. I thought he was averse to it. I didn't think he would or immune to it. I didn't think he'd necessarily have it. It shows you how difficult this is. And although he was able to pull it off, right? Does this sort of meltdown affect him? Is it something to look for in the future and say, okay, there was the first sign of the chink in the armor, or is it something he can build off of?
I would think the latter. I mean, he seems the kind of guy who takes everything and uses it as a weapon going forward, no matter what. You could say you could mention his name second in the list of best golfers in history, and he would say, well, why didn't you mention me first? And he used that as a chip on his shoulder. This is a guy who openly admits that he plays with this chip on his shoulder, and people are asking him, what do you have to complain about now? You're the best golfer in the world. You're number one. You've won everything. And he's saying you can still find a way. You can still manufacture a way. And so in his head, and it works for a lot of athletes this way, if you don't have an enemy in front of you, you create one. That's what Michael Jordan used to do. That's what the greats do, is they create that enemy. So in a way, he kind of, I would imagine, you know, we can't get him to be this introspective quite yet, but I would imagine that he'll use this as some sort of a slight against himself, a way to motivate himself to think, all right, well, you only played about 68 of those 72 holes. Great. You know, you can do better than that. Mm.
So Rory had stretches like this, right, where he won four at a very young age. Spieth ripped off the three quick ones at a very young age. And then those guys both kind of hit, you know, roadblocks. Will that happen to Brooks?
It certainly could. I mean, it absolutely could. If all of a sudden he loses his touch on the greens, if he gets a little bit more wild off the tee, golf is such a game of inches, and that's such a cliched thing to say, but it's absolutely true. All it takes is the tiniest, like, opening in the door, and the rest of the field is going to charge through. And obviously, Koepka's got a lot more latitude than most at this point, but it doesn't take much to get off your game and to be, as you mentioned, with those two guys that you just mentioned, Spieth and McIlroy. We thought they were on the fast track of the Golf Hall of Fame, and both of them now have been, it's been years since either one of them has won a major or even really been competitive, and both of them are struggling. So Koepka seems to be of a different mindset, and that's so important in golf. But yeah, I would not say for certain. Koepka wants to win 10 majors. I would not book the mortgage on that.
I mean, what if he wins the Open, you know, once the U.S. Open, and they're going to move to Pebble, all right? So the Open hasn't been at Pebble since 2000 when Tiger rolled the field. But, you know, Koepka kills the ball, and they're going to narrow the fairways. This is not going to be your typical Pebble Beach conditions that we're used to seeing when they play the AT&T there. But, you know, he kills the ball. He hits the ball straight. DJ's obviously had success there. Tigers won there before a long time ago, but this is going to be really interesting in a month.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun because all the eyes are going to be on Koepka. He's not going to be able to play the underdog and the poor little ignored me role anymore. He's going to be the guy coming in. He's the odds-on favorite. DJ is second, which I can't quite understand unless it's just a tease, a little bit of action. DJ just, I think that he, if you're looking for somebody who damaged their reputation, I think that DJ was it yesterday. He had it right there. One stroke behind, he was able to put the pressure on Koepka, and then he bogeys two straight holes and gives it away. I mean, Johnson now has the uncomfortable and unfortunate record of finishing second in every major. It's the tied for second Grand Slam, or whatever you want to call it, and it's not a great record to have. He gets close, but he hasn't quite yet, with one exception, been able to take it over the top.
Joined by Jay Busby, senior writer at Yahoo Sports, talking some PGA Championship, but I want to shift gears because just perusing your Twitter, and you're making me chuckle. You talked about the riderless horse at the Preakness. We didn't even get a chance to talk about it. Everybody was rooting for the riderless horse.
Well, I mean, you know, with all due respect to the seriousness of the situation, somebody could have really gotten hurt. Oh, my God, I have never screamed louder for a horse race when I wasn't, completely sloshed at a steeplechase somewhere than for that riderless horse. I called my kids into the room. I paused and I said, you guys got to get in here and see this. And the damn horse is passing other horses on the outside. It was the best. I mean, you know, we're making all the jokes. How bad do you have to feel if you get beaten by a riderless horse and all that? But I mean, it masks a real problem in the horse racing industry, but man, it was a lot of fun to watch for a minute and a half.
Yeah, and you also talked about the Clint Bowyer fight. I saw that on TV. I mean, what are these guys doing fighting with helmets?
They're smart is what they're doing. Ryan Newman, I mean, I don't expect anybody outside of the world NASCAR to know this. Ryan Newman is built like a fire plug. I mean, he's a cinder block in human form. If you go after him without a helmet on, you're probably going to get your jaw crushed. Clint Bowyer is a skinny little dude. So, yeah, fighting with your helmet on, it seems like it's wussy, but in NASCAR terms, it's sometimes the smartest thing to do.
Getting back to golf just for a second, I want to get sort of your assessment on Tiger here for the last two majors. So he kind of shocks us all and wins his 15th major at the Masters, and then doesn't play, and then only plays nine holes leading up, which leads you to believe something's going on. Later he says he's sick. I don't know. Didn't play horribly. Missed the cut by a shot at a brutal course. You know, Pebble, he's had success before, but Brooks has clearly shown when he's on, he's almost impossible to beat. What do you expect to see from Tiger here in these last two majors?
Well, let me flip it around on you. Think about this. Think about the last day of school. Think about when you made it to the last day of school and you were absolutely done and you're ready to go and you're ready to hit summer vacation back when we all had summer vacations. Now imagine if you get out on a Friday and imagine you have to go back to school on a Monday. You're not going to have any energy at all. You're going to be like, oh, screw this. I thought that I was done. That's what happened to Tiger with the Masters. He reached the pinnacle. He'd been working for this for a decade, and he got there. I was not surprised that he missed the cut. I mean, you know, I was expecting him to do a little bit better, but once he started talking about it, he said he was celebrating at the Masters, from the Masters. He reached that mountaintop, and he wasn't quite ready, I don't think, to get back into the game. I think that he was somewhat sick. I think he was underprepared.
Right.
Best played back for everyone else other than Koepka was a tough course. But, I don't think he was prepared. I think he's going to be a lot better prepared for Pebble.
What did you think about the TV coverage with TNT? Yeah. I didn't love it. I didn't love it, but I have DirecTV, so I could put the PGA Championship experience on where they had four different screens.
Right.
But I didn't love the TV coverage on TNT. Way too many commercials. Didn't show enough golf, in my opinion. Now, CBS was obviously much better at it this weekend, but what'd you think?
Yeah, if I had to hear about those millennial kids trying to get their loans one more time for the credit cards, I mean, that commercial, I think I heard that about 7,000 times. You know, they got a lot of grief for the aerial tracker and things like that. It's tough for a network to come in and just parachute in and do one golf tournament. Golf tournaments are such a weird thing to do. But, yeah, TNT's been doing this a while, and it was a little bit rocky. You'd hope for a little bit smoother, but I think that overall – Golf fans love to nitpick the broadcast. I'm the same way. And I think it's a tough sport to handle, especially when you've got a situation like you do where you basically have to manufacture the drama from the booth. So stay tuned, fans. It's possible that Brooks Koepka could fall out of a tree and lose his lead here. So it's a tough thing to do. But, yeah, TNT was a little bit lacking.
Yeah, I was glad that there was some drama there on the back nine yesterday. I mean, if he would have ran away with it and won by 7-8 strokes, right? But at least there was some drama for, you know, a good 2 hours.
But people loved it when Tiger did it, when he ran away and lapped the field.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't like seeing it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I like seeing drama.
I'm with you on that. And I think there's Koepka hasn't quite connected. It's a weird charisma thing. I think if McIlroy had run away, if Spieth had run away,
right,
I think you'd have a whole different environment. But Koepka, for whatever reason, just doesn't connect with people yet.
Yep. He's not as likable. I've been saying it.
Is he
for
tight
weeks
with anybody on the tour?
Yeah, DJ's. Yeah, he's DJ. Best friends.
He's tight with DJ, yeah.
Yeah. His boy.
Yeah. They're like best buddies.
Two dullards.
Exactly. Well, hopefully Spieth. I'll tell you what's interesting. When Spieth was in his prime, in his heyday there, I actually found him a little whiny at times. I didn't love him. Now, and it's sort of, I call this a comeback, essentially, for him. I find myself rooting for him.
I do too.
Yeah. Spieth is like, he's like a genetically created golfer. I mean, he's the guy that if you could get all the golf media together and have them genetically create a golfer in the lab, he comes off the course and he'll sit there and he'll give you the most perfect quotes just laid out for you. And also all the golf media falls in love with him. And then you kind of parse it out a little bit later and you think, he maybe didn't say quite as much as we thought he did. But yeah, I mean, he's kind of the first postmodern golfer where he's seen how social media works and he knows how to work it to his advantage and how to work media to his advantage. And now his game has got to catch back up with that. It's been almost 2 years since he's won a tournament.
I'm just glad Jazz Wanatanon or whatever didn't win.
Jazz Jane?
I was having a tough time with that one. I still don't know how you say it. Jane Watananon?
I think that's it.
Jana Watananon, I think is how you say it.
Jana Watananon.
I just call him Jazz Jane. So much easier.
Yeah. Well, I just read
Jazzy J.
I just read his caddy was working at a grocery store the morning of the Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. My colleague Kevin Cato was one of the guys that found this story. He was the guy who works at a grocery. He's the manager of a grocery store, so he's got to be there unloading the trucks. The trucks don't unload themselves.
Oh my god!
And so he was working. I mean, these caddies for the top level golfers bring their own caddies, but the lower level guys, the ones that, and especially the ones that come from overseas, they just kind of show up and they get paired with whoever they get paired with. And so just by a series of circumstances, this dude who's a grocery store manager gets paired with him to caddy, and all of a sudden, he's right up there, right in the final groupings.
Right. That's amazing. Always love the caddy stories. Hey, thank
hopefully
you, Jay.
He stiff like Kuchar stiff that one guy.
Yeah, hopefully paid him.
That was, you know what the deal was? It was $100 plus tip. And I don't know what the tip was, but I hope it was a real good tip.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see what Jazz Jane made. Now, Jazz Jane, he made $191,000.
Yeah, I would imagine that he ought to kick a little bit of that back to his caddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. All right, thank you, Jay. Appreciate it as always. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good, boys. Take care.
Yeah. Okay.
$100 plus tip.
By the way, Koepka made $1.98 million.
Right. Nobody even talks about it.
Yeah.
Nobody even talks about it.
It's nuts.
Yeah. These guys are so G'd up.
Oh, filthy rich.
They all fly on their private jets.
It's just stupid money.
They have like net jet leases.
And you know who they can thank for that?
Tiger Woods,
for sure.
The guys who were winning tournaments pre-Tiger were making about $300,000.
Here's the thing that's frustrating to me, and I've said it a couple times, and I think we all know it. If Tiger's playing his A game and Koepka's playing his A game, Tiger's going to lose. That's a little bit annoying because Koepka looks like that A game is reachable a lot more.
Because Tiger played his A game on Sunday at Augusta, and Koepka probably played like a B+.
And barely beat him.
Beat it by one, yeah.
Barely beat him. Yeah. If Koepka plays his A game
further, like what's the deal?
Yeah. Just more consistent at this point. Healthier.
Overall, better, younger, stronger. Yeah.
He's doing what Tiger was doing to everybody 15 years ago.
Wasn't McIlroy supposed to be the guy who hit him? Steve Sands sold me on McIlroy.
Well, McIlroy is all the talent in the world.
By the way, who won our pool? I guess Cakes?
Cakes won.
So I got to give
$10. I already Venmo'd him $20 for me and McKinney.
Look at you.
You got to give him $10.
Big time Venmo guy.
I'll wait till he comes in. Hopefully he forgets.
Oh, he won't forget.
That's
what
I'm hoping.
Are you kidding me? Think that guy forgets about money?
All right, we come back. We'll get back into the entertainment page. I'll tell you all about the box office. Schwarzenegger had an incident over the weekend. Scarlett Johansson, a lot of good stuff. But in the meantime, stop worrying about those pesky plumbing problems and call the 5-star plumbing experts at my guys at Crop Metcalf. From water heaters and garbage disposals to sump pumps and main water lines, Crop Metcalf's 5-star technicians can handle all of your plumbing needs. Call today. Save $50 on your next plumbing service. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician, now proudly serving Fauquier County, Culpeper County, and the surrounding Piedmont area.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, boys, let's get back into the entertainment pitch. We talked all about Game of Thrones. A lot of people disappointed. Some people glad it's over. I'm kind of glad it's over just because I haven't been in on it.
Drabby,
so now I don't feel so outside.
I saw there were some NBA players, maybe some NFL players that commented on social media about it. I didn't necessarily read it. Were there any big names that disliked it?
You know, I didn't see that, but give me a second here. I'll give you a recap.
I saw that there was an article in the Post about that. I mean, everyone had an opinion.
Yeah.
Except us.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, Jared Dudley hated it. Chris Long, who retired this weekend,
yep,
said, great thing about TV, it's not that serious.
Right.
So he didn't like it.
It's just TV, the Valdez take.
It's just shows, IGS. Yeah,
it's just shows.
Frank Kaminsky said, I'm dead inside.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Oh, even RG3 didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Shut
up, Robert. He just wants people to like him.
Attention dollars.
All right, so let's talk about the box office, though. Despite Game of Thrones, people still went to see movies, and John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum, took care of business as expected, did $57 million, almost doubled what Avengers Endgame made in its fourth week.
Anybody who would say that Equalizer is better than John Wick, they're just dumb.
People were texting me about John Wick 3, Chapter 3. They liked it.
People did?
Yeah, they liked it.
I saw
people enjoyed the segment where you blocked the text.
I know they loved it.
What'd you think?
It's an awesome movie. I mean, first of all, Keanu Reeves has like 10 lines in the entire movie, so you're not going to see him.
Can I see it having not seen the first two? Can I just drop in?
Sure. Yeah. You sure?
I mean, it's just a guy killing people.
99% of the movie is him killing people.
Is he killing people? Is he a bad guy?
Is he a good guy or bad guy?
He's a good guy assassin.
He is.
If that makes any sense.
So does he work for like the CIA or something?
I think his history.
He works for the High Table.
What is the High Table?
It's just something
made up. I know, but what is that?
Elite
force elite within like group. The FBI or something.
No,
that you
no,
don't even
nothing,
know about?
No government thing.
How is he a good guy?
Well, because he kills bad guys.
He kills all the criminals.
He gets paid to kill people.
Does the police look for him?
In this one, he made a mistake at the end of the last one, and so basically every hitman on the planet is now trying to kill him.
Oh, yeah. So it's good.
I
should go.
He stabs and shoots and slices a thousand guys.
How many people does he kill in 2 hours? 100?
More
than that.
It's really really graphic, too. Grabby?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Hostile where it's you can't watch
it. Fun
killing.
I've seen the first, and I think I saw the second one.
Knives and guys' foreheads.
Like in Jason Bourne, I can't even remember. Did Matt Damon kill a bunch of dudes in that one, or he just fight them? I can't even remember.
He kills a few.
He kills a few. Yeah.
But all with fighting.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't do much shooting.
Right.
But I'm guessing Wick does
a lot of shooting.
Does Wick shoot more? Like, does he kill more people via the gun or just beating them to death?
A lot with the gun, yeah, for sure. But you also don't sleep on swords. Knives.
Okay. Really?
Some great knife fights.
All right.
So there you go. Positive review from Drab T-shirt. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't think, saw the movie. He was promoting something with his Arnold athletes, and I'm sure you guys have seen the viral video. Somebody came up behind him and like tried to drop kick him in his back while he was on Snapchat. Some just crazed person. And, of course, he was immediately tackled.
Any motive at all?
I don't know.
I saw it. It's just a nut.
I don't know. Just crazy. And then Arnold was almost completely unfazed by it. He's 71 years old. The guy drop kicks him right in the back, and he just kind of steps forward about a foot, turns around, guy tackles him, and that's it. And Arnold says, hey.
Because security then takes the guy.
Yeah, Arnold says, no big deal. Not even going to press charges. I don't even want to promote the guy. Don't show the video. You know, focus on my athletes here instead, and just blows it off. I guess the price of being famous, I guess. But somebody like that just attacks a celebrity for no reason. That person's got mental issues, right? Oh. For sure. Needs to be in an insane asylum.
Yeah, of course.
There's no other way around it, right? Lamar Odom.
I'm seeing the video for the first time right now.
Has been doing interviews lately, and he recently acknowledged that back in 2004 when he was playing in the Olympics, he was smoking weed all the time. And he actually passed a drug test using the fake dongs that people were ordering.
A Wizinator.
Yeah, remember like the Wizinator and all that?
Right.
He found somewhere, I don't know if he found it on a Rolling Stone or whatever, he found it in the back of a magazine, ordered it up like 24 hours later, and had it.
I saw the graphic language he used. He said he ordered a big
dark black one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was the running back who used the Wizinator? Or maybe
was he with the Vikings or something? I can't remember.
It's definitely a Vikings running back.
Yeah. Who was that?
I can't remember.
I'm going to look that up.
But this back Blast in 2000, the he said it worked. So that's how he passed his drug test back in 2004. He actually bought the fake penis and used that, I guess, when I guess the whoever's taking the sample might sneak a peek, make sure it's you giving the sample. They didn't look closely enough, apparently.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson is getting engaged.
Ontario Smith.
Ontario
Smith. That's who it is.
He was a Viking, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Scarlett Johansson is getting engaged again, this time to SNL co-head writer Colin Jost. Is he also, does he appear on screen too, or is he just a writer?
I think he's the news guy.
He does news Weekend guy. Update.
He does.
I think
the
he might be.
Is he good?
I like him. Yeah.
I think it might be Jost, but who cares?
Yeah. Colin Jost. Jost. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Right, and I think it's Johansson.
They were first spotted kissing Jost together after her appearance on SNL in May of 2017. It's her third marriage attempt
oh,
for
really?
Her. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And last
Colin,
but not
Colin
least,
third
Jost.
Marriage attempt.
Jost.
Yeah. She's been married twice.
Twice. So this will be a third attempt.
He went to Harvard, graduated in 2004. Pretty man, dumb.
Probably a genius. And we have asked about the Jeopardy donk, James Holzhauer, who Valdez wants to sit next to Davey on the bench there for the Nats.
Genius idea.
He comes back today. So even though they've filmed all this stuff, you get to see him back today.
The new episodes are tonight.
Right, and to see how he does. So far, how much has he made? So far, it looks like his 22-day total is $1.6 million.
I haven't watched 1 second, but I might make an effort.
He's
going to remember, it's 7 o'clock tonight.
He's trying to catch Ken Jennings, who won $2.5 million, but it took him 74 games. He's won $1.7 million, basically, in just 22.
He's better.
So if he goes 74 games, the guy's going to make like $10-12 million.
The amounts are different.
Think, yeah, right.
Well, when Ken Jennings did it, it was less.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. So anyway, bottom line is if he goes on the same winning streak.
What are the ranges now? It used to be like originally it was 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. Is it 200 to 1,000 now, or what is it?
Yeah, I think 2,000 is the max.
They even have a 2,000. Wow. Yeah, it used to start. Was it the first? I haven't watched it in 20 years. Was it the first sort of go-around 1 to 500? Then they did another go-around, and it was like maybe
200
to 1,000.
200 to 1,000. Yeah, double Jeopardy.
Yeah. But now it's the first one's 1 to 1,000, the second one's 1,000 to 2,000. They basically doubled all the money. Is that what
yeah.
they did?
Yeah. Basically, double Jeopardy is the first go around, and right. then that's double for double Jeopardy.
Right, right. And you had to hook it up.
Not that this is an entertainment story, but and it probably won't happen. But did you see that Ted Ginn Jr. challenge? Like he said, I'll challenge anybody to a race for $15,000.
Yes,
and that
high school kid
that
said
high
he was
school,
down
that
right.
White kid,
the white
he's
kid,
like super fast. They call him White Lightning.
White Lightning. Yeah.
He challenged him. Like,
it's never gonna
seen,
happen.
Have you? Did
I would watch that.
Did you watch the 4x100? I guess it was. Or
yeah, he just 4x400.
It was a 4x4.
He was like a quarter of a lap behind, and he caught this.
I didn't
guy.
See that, but I saw the 100-meter race.
Ridiculous.
That he won. I would love to see Ted Ginn run the white guy against the white guy.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
The white kid's money.
Ted Ginn's a cool record, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So I mean, he's pretty close.
But that's the reason it's a story.
It's the reason why people are getting super excited about it. Yeah. The embarrassing great white hope.
Exactly.
So embarrassing.
Did he? Is he going to a certain school? Has he announced where he's going to college to run track?
Oh,
that.
Wow. We were all over this. Denver Nuggets president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, is remaining with the franchise. See?
Of course.
They offered him the gig on Friday. He was like, he can't take it.
Yeah. It's probably a good move.
Oh, that's embarrassing. When you have to go with the second choice.
Is it kind of embarrassing then if you're Danny Ferry and you take the gig?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so Danny.
No, but Danny, hopefully they offer it to him.
Yeah.
We'll get him on the show. Should.
Oh, yeah. They got offered to Danny, right? Or are they going to offer it to Tommy Shepard?
There's the Raptors guy, too.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're going
to
do.
I think you have to be out of basketball to take that gig.
It's a tough
I don't know.
Gig.
If you get like a five-year
or
contract.
Or you're like Tommy Shepard and you're already
within the
organization.
If you're given a five-year contract and they say, okay, in 5 years, you have an opportunity to turn this around. So in those 5 years, you trade Bradley Beal and you basically totally redo the team. If that's what you want to do, you got a shot.
I don't know, dude.
But they'll still be
it's
looking
a tough
for a GM.
Gig.
All right, got to get out of here. For Bish, EB, I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, they're coming up next right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.